Use her while you're here, take good care of her, and then bring her and yourselves back in one piece when you're done. Now, I'm not much of a car guy. Most of the cars I've owned, especially my first cars, were cars that just barely could get me from point A to point B. But this Mustang convertible was more than, shall we say, functional. It was the second sweetest ride I ever enjoyed. We drove the canyons, we cruised Beverly Hills, we rolled over the twists and turns of Mulholland Drive. The top was down, Boston was blaring on the 8-track. Yes, it was that long ago. And it was our Kings of the World moment. That was my second sweetest ride. My first is the planet we live on. Oh, you might not think of this planet as a sweet ride, but know that as we're sitting here in this worship hour, we will travel more than 66,000 miles. And so you're never not going somewhere. And of course, we're also spinning at the same time as we're moving around, hurtling around the sun. Surprisingly, we get the keys to this ride at birth. We're born into the beauty of this place and into the immediate and lifelong responsibility to care for this ride we're on, to take care of her. Talk about radical hospitality. God says, she's all yours. Use her as long as you're here. Take good care of her. And then leave her in better shape at the end of the ride than when you started out. Of course, the ride's not just about transportation. Since God first scooped us out of the earth on this planet, God has given us all we need to live on this blue marble. And God made it beautiful, not just functional. It's not just a grayscale world with enough bland food to get us from point A to point B, just enough shelter to keep us alive. One of the marvelous things about this home that we hear in the second chapter of Scripture from the book of Genesis is that when God put us in a garden out of the ground, God made trees to grow every tree that is what comes first, pleasant to the sight and good for food. How interesting that beauty comes before sustenance. God trusts us with more than a box on wheels. God trusts us with a planet that is functional and delightful, and God puts us here to enjoy it and to till it and to keep it. The truth is, we're not doing so well with this very clear calling from God. Demographers have noted that in the year 2000, for the first time in human history, more people lived in urban environments than directly on the land. And that is a significant tipping point. Character of urban life in general makes it difficult for more and more people to have a connection with or sympathy for the earth and its plants and its creatures. We can get what we need by shopping instead of growing or cultivating, farming or ranching. And now you don't even have to leave your home. You don't even have to go outside to get anything you need to live. And what matters most to many of us is quality for as little as cost as possible. Professor of theology and ecology Norman Wiersbaugh notes, "My grandfather would have understood his life to be a failure if the land he cultivated and the animals he cared for were abused or misused. My generation," he's a boomer, "my generation, by contrast, depends on energy and agricultural systems that require the abuse of the land and water and creatures." Another author, Amitav Ghosh, calls this the great derangement. He says, "We have more information available than any people who've ever lived on the planet Earth. And yet, we lack the imagination and the ability to somehow recognize and respond to the critical danger going on all around us. Daily, we witness the evidence of rapidly changing climate and its impact, and yet we insist on finding ways to deny it or ignore it and we offer more and more ridiculous reasons for what's happening. On one of the nights, my roommate and I were in L.A. My cousin suggested that we take that sweet ride up to the Griffith Park Observatory. You might recognize that setting if you watched or saw La La Land. It's kind of at the top of the city in the Hollywood Hills. There was an interesting presentation at the observatory, she said, and the view at night over the city of L.A. is absolutely amazing. And so we did what she told us, and there was already a large crowd forming at the observatory, and so we had to park a ways down the road, somewhere where Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling parked their cars when they went to the same place. The show was good, the view was magnificent, and then it was time to go home. But when I put the key in the Mustang, all I heard was that sickening click. Our beautiful ride was suddenly malfunctioning. Something was clearly not right. Now imagine with me for a moment if people responded to our problem as they do to the malfunctioning of our planet. The first person to come along might have said, you know, there's nothing wrong with your car. You just think it won't start because some liberal tree-hugging mechanic told you there's a problem. The second person to come along says, your car not starting is just part of the natural order of things. You know, cars run for a while, and then they stop running. Your car has apparently entered a not running phase. The third person to come along looks at us and says, if God is in control, then nothing bad can actually happen. Your being stuck up here in the Hollywood Hills at 10 o'clock at night is nothing to worry about. This is part of God's plan. Everything happens for a reason. Well, it turned out it wasn't a liberal mechanic. It wasn't a natural phase. It wasn't God's will, unless God put it in somebody's heart to cut the battery cables and remove the battery. Yeah. Oh. We had a real problem. Some serious damage that was done, and it wasn't going to be a quick fix. On this Earth Day 2018, we gather as people of God to consider, in part, the scale of our problem, the problem of the abuse of our home and our sweetest ride. Our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, wrote in an Earth Day statement these prophetic words about our great derangement. She said this, an honest and credible look at the increasing environmental degradation and climate change names the neglect, carelessness, and wrongs of industry, civil society, and global government leadership. It also recognizes how human beings individually and collectively worsen the attacks on God's creation. And as a church, we must confess our frequent lack of urgency in addressing environmental degradation and slow action to address a changing climate. As presiding bishop, I give thanks for all the ways that this church embraces our common responsibility to care for God's creation, and I call on us as individuals and congregations to continue efforts through stewardship, advocation, education, and advocacy. So our response begins by lifting up the hood and seeing what's wrong, seeing what really the problem is. And then we remember that God is with us, that the Lord is in this place. As John reminds us today, the Word became flesh and lived among us, lived here in the dirt and beside the waters, breathing the air that we breathe. Jesus came to ride shotgun on this beautiful and bountiful planet. He came to remind us that God's trajectory throughout Scripture is always toward us. It's always coming down to us. It's not pulling us up to where God is, not moving away from us. The book of Revelation in particular is not about God extracting the faithful from this sin-infested planet. It's about God establishing God's kingdom here, a new heaven and a new earth come down to where we live, and God will live in the midst of her. For God so loved this dirt. God so loved these waters. God so loved this atmosphere that God sent Jesus here to forgive us and to save us. God has made us healers and co-creators. We are all gardeners. And so we do the basics. The basics are important. Reduce, reuse, recycle, do an energy audit, switch out your light bulbs, reduce the use of fossil fuels. But the work to which God calls us is also political and economic and legal, because all these things matter in preparing our planetary home for welcoming God here. Radical hospitality goes both ways. God made this home for us and welcomes us here. At the same time, as we remember that God comes to us, we make a home for God with us. Radical hospitality also means that now, today, this week, and next year, and the year following, we are preparing a home for the generations that follow, for my grandkids' kids, and for their grandkids. That's also radical hospitality. The Lord is in this place to help free us from our derangement and to direct us towards working together to care for this most sweet ride that is our home. Amen.